Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Last night, but evidently he wasn't, so
He's a little unprepared, so for my purification, he's asked me to read the Sanskrit. So he said he couldn't sing, and he sang more beautifully than any Gandharva, and he could probably read the Sanskrit standing on his head, but for my purification. So text 8 is on the board. I'll read text 7. Aham charavatam nagam ahuyanu vaje vajam marugane mahavega nandagoshta jigam shaya. Translation. I will follow you to Braj, riding on my elephant, Aravata, and taking with me the swift and powerful wind gods to decimate the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Who's speaking here? Lord Indra. Purport. This is a very short purport. Actually, they're both quite short. The Samantaka clouds were frightened by Indra's powerful mood and thus carried out his order as described in the following verse. So please repeat. Sri Shukuvacha Itam Magavatagyata Meganir Mukta Bandanaha Nanda Gokula Masha Asailaha Pidayam Ashur Ojasa Sri Shukuvacha Itam Magavata Gyapta Meganir Mukta Bandanaha Nandagokulam asarai Hidayam asurojasa Sri Shukuvacha Itam Magavata Gyapta Meganir Mukta Bandanaha Nandagokulam asarai Hidayam Ashur Ojasa. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Itam, in this manner, Magavata, by Indra, Agyaptaha, ordered, Megaha, the clouds, Nirmuktabandhanaha, released from their bonds, although they were supposed to be kept in check until the time for the destruction of the world. Nandagokulam, the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj, Asarai, by great downpours of rain, Piriyam Asuru. They tormented Odisha with all their power. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace. Shukadeva Goswami said, on Indra's order, the clouds of universal destruction released untimely from their bonds, went to the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj. There they began to torment the inhabitants by powerfully pouring down torrents of rain upon them. Purport. The Samantarka clouds could cover the entire earth with a single vast ocean. With great strength, these clouds began flooding the simple land of Braj.
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharana Om Gyan Tirmayam Dasyam Gyanam Gyanam Salakam Chakshu Militam Jena Tazma Shri Gurave Namah. So, here we see a very amazing example of someone who's not acting according to Krishna's will, but according to his own desires. However, there's a funny little twist in this story. So we'll attend to that understanding in this class. There's a sloka in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita which says, Swabhava jena kunti yani badasvena kamana aritamnya chasi yanmahat karisyasi avisopita. So this was instructed to Arjuna when he wasn't doing what he was told. And Indra here is also doing a similar thing. The translation of this is, under illusion, you are now declining to act according to the orders of my directions. But compelled by the work born of your own nature, the three modes, you will act all the same. So similarly, Indra was bewildered, because he wasn't actually acting according to the directions of Krishna. So he was acting according to his modes, which is passion. Indra was king of heaven, and we know what king of heaven means. It means that one doesn't bow down to higher other authorities, so to speak, because Indra's a grihastha, and he has everything coming to him. He has, on occasion, he's prone. That's why he's prone to become illusioned and get a little too big for his boots and get puffed up. He did a similar offense in front of his spiritual master, and he lost the whole kingdom of heaven because he was a little proud. His spiritual master came in, Brihaspati, and one is supposed to bow down when the spiritual master comes in. And he didn't do this. He didn't get down from the Vyasasa, and he didn't pay his obeisances. So Brihaspati walked away from him. He didn't chastise him in any way. And we see a similar thing here with Lord Krishna. There's some very nice similarities. And fortunately, Lord Krishna bestowed his mercy a little later. Because Lord Krishna had a reason for this pastime going on. Of course, Lord Krishna can see all the past, present, and future. Indra cannot see what Lord Krishna's pastimes are because they're under the Antaranga Shakti, this internal energy. So Indra can only act according to the three modes of nature unless he's acting on behalf of Lord Krishna. And at this point, like this Swabhava Jena, he's acting according to his own swabhava, his own understanding of what life is according to the modes of nature. So in relation to Brihaspati, he had to be taught a good lesson. It was different Indra, I believe, at that time. And he lost the whole of heavenly kingdom. Because Brihaspati didn't bestow his mercy on him, he lost the mercy. If you do something to offend the spiritual master and you lose the mercy, then you'll lose all of your spiritual potency. It will become covered over. And when Indra's mother, on behalf of him, so you can get a devotee on behalf of you, can pray to the Lord to get back your good favor. So Indra's mother prayed for Indra, and then we see the pastime of Vamana Dev coming along and taking back the universe from Bali Maharaj. But at that time, everybody said, well, Indra made kind of a big blunder here. And everyone agreed, including Indra, that Lord Krishna, at that time, Lord Krishna in his expansion as the Vamana Dev incarnation expansion, he would take over the post of Indra. So at that point, he took over as Indra, and Indra was gave him a name. He gave him a wonderful name at this point, it's Govinda. So we know this name, Govinda, from Indra Dev. He gave this wonderful title to Krishna. And in this pastime here, I believe you've read it to this point, and before this, Lord Brahma was illusioned also, so we're going to look at the similarities between the two. So in this particular pastime, Indra had a little pride in him that he thought that his will be done. Jesus prays, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Indra also should pray like that, but he made a slip up and he said, my will be done. And he wanted to show his superiority over Krishna. One of the reasons was because he himself was called delusions of grandeur. He thought he was this big, big, important person, and he didn't want to bow down to the Lord. So it's mentioned if one comes into the temple of God and one doesn't touch one's head to the floor, but rather pays obeisances on one's hands, you know, the head doesn't touch, just the hands do. This is offensive. There are many little slight offenses one can make. One's head should touch the floor. Other one has a touch of pride, you see. One doesn't go low enough. And one can see sometimes businessmen, important people, they have a touch pride that they don't touch their head onto the floor. However, people in the higher modes, towards goodness, they do recognize Krishna. So this is a very nice aspect. But there's some things that the Lord has to attend to. So in this case, Indra had something to attend to. And Lord Krishna understood this beforehand. So he instructed Nanda Maharaj and Nanda Maharaj's elder brother, Shri Radha Nandan Ishwara Kijai, Sajayana Pavdena Nishkadmaran Kijai, Gornitai Kijai. In yellow. Very nice. So the Lord instructed the cowherd men, what's the meaning of this sacrifice you're performing? What's it all for? And they explained that it's to get good grains in the field. Because if we worship Indra, he'll pour the rain, and then the rains will have grains, and then the cows can eat the grains, and everyone is very happy, the grass is growing, and the cows actually eat the grass, not the grains. This is a Kali Yuga thing, where they grow grains for the cows. And then they slaughter the cows, and they could grow the grains for humans, and then we don't have to consume as much as a cow consumes. They only eat a little grains with a small stomach, but cows eat so much. So they have to grow so many grains in replace of the grass. But naturally, the cows should eat grass. So they mentioned that these grains we can eat, and the grass, the water will come down, the grass will be lush, and the cows will be satisfied, and we'll be satisfied. So it's nice to perform this yajna. And Krishna said, no, it's by karma that one gets the fruits of one's activities. So in a previous life, all the cowherd villagers have done something to merit being born in this wonderful place of Vrindavan. Well, actually, they went to Vrindavan down. They were in a different place. And this other place was getting, Krishna was getting troubled by too many demons. And they said, this is problematic for us because Krishna means so much to us. And we can't bear to see him getting attacked every 5 minutes. So instead, we'll move to another place, from Nandeshwara to Vrindavan, Mahavan. So they were instructed in this way. And because Krishna is such an eloquent speaker, this is one of his primary qualities, they had faith in Krishna because they'd seen him do miraculous feats. And it had been prophesied that Krishna could equal Narayan himself. So they had a lot of faith that Krishna was a wonderful character. So even though he was just a 5-year-old boy, they actually listened to him. It's quite, just in and of itself, it's quite astounding. And there's a similar pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Advaita Acharya's son was... At one point, somebody said, Ishvara Puri is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. And Advaita Acharya's small 5-year-old boy said, who says this? How can Lord Chaitanya, the master of the whole universe, have a spiritual master? I don't accept this. So then Advaita Acharya said, he's actually my teacher. And Prabhupada comments that the child is the father of man. Because a child actually can know more and teach men things. Prabhupada is very poetic in his purports. So, similarly, in this instance, Krishna was 5 years old and he was instructing. You often find these similarities in the two scriptures. Just to confirm things that you're supposed to learn in one, if you don't learn it, you'll get another chance in another shastra by the teachings of the six Goswamis. So then in this particular pastime, Lord Krishna mentioned that it's by a person's karma that they get the fruits of their results of their activities. And the cowherd boys, men said that we actually believe you, Krishna. We take these things as being very logical and they sound shastrically correct. And Krishna said, better you worship the cows and better you worship Govardhan Hill, because it's Govardhan Hill that produces all the things we need, all the herbs to heal us, all the grasses there. It's a perfect place for our cows. We have so much fun there. There's so many fruit trees there. We have pasturing grounds at the bottom of the hills. Everything's there for us by the mercy of Govardhan. So they said, yes, let's do that. So of course we know the story, they did that, and Indra got the word in English is peeved off, very upset with the whole issue, and he sent these Sambarkika clouds, the clouds of universal destruction. So it's mentioned in the chapter, Canto 3, there is a mention, and in Canto 12 there's also a mention of it, the creation and destruction according to Sankhya Yoga. So, when the time comes for universal destruction, we see that the sun heats up the whole bottom from the earth down over the whole universe. It's heating up all the planetary systems and it dries up all the water in the universe. And then everything becomes dry as a crisp. And when it becomes dry, it's very easy to set fire to it. And then Rudra comes along and then the fire gods, and they set fire to the universe. And then after that, there's ash everywhere. And there has to be something happens to all this carbon, this ash. So Indra comes along and he sends these Sambarkika clouds. And these Sambarkika clouds, they flood up the entire universe from the bottom up over to the heavens, and they absorb all the debris that's there. And this debris goes into the water, and then again the fire comes along and that evaporates all the water, and that then goes, you see the elements are retracting from the earth, then they become water, they get merged into water. And then fire comes along and that evaporates the water. And then they go up into the ether, into air, actually, and they become different gases. And then after that, the air itself, it becomes a vacuum. Because what's happening in the in this system of destruction is the mahatattva is degrading and it's degenerating. And everything that we know as being the future comes down into the past, and then it goes to Rudra. If we meet it in the present, we meet whatever we call reality in the present, and then it becomes our history. So time itself is going backwards. Even though we think time's going forwards, it's coming from the Mahatattva disintegrating and becoming more and more disorganized. And then it goes back into one point, and it comes through Rudra, who has these snakes on him. And it goes like a snake down to Ananda Shesh. And then the whole expanding universe, if we were to make a cone like this, it comes right down into a point. And that point, when you take it right back to Sankarshan, it becomes a point of infinity condensed into one little small point. So that one point, which is pressurized by everything outside of it, becomes one little tiny vacuum, and that is then what we know as Sankarshan, which contains all possibilities, but it's in an inactive state. So everything is flowing into what's called a black hole in the center of every universe, and that's then taken to Sankarshan at the bottom of the universe. And these demigods, like Indra and Vayu and Chandradev, etc., they're to help in this destruction, creation and destruction. So they're never actually to be destroyed, but when they get out of hand, they have to be brought back into line. So Indra's a very important demigod. He's looking after the whole universe. He's the king of the whole universe. Heaven's the top of this universal structure. So there's one pastime where Maharaj Prithu was, his son was going to kill Indra, and Indra did some sneaky little tricks and pretended he was sannyas. And so he allowed him to get free. And then he stole the horse again from this sacrifice. And again, his son was going to kill him. And he again turned into a sannyas, but a different type of sannyas. He took on the dress. And when an important person does something, it has repercussions later on. So because Indra did this, then we now have these different types of sannyasis who are bogus. They're counterfeit sannyasis. So Maharaj Prithu himself was going to kill Indra. And then Brahma came and said, don't do that. It's not very wise, because Indra's actually got a job to do on behalf of the Lord. So who would do it when he's so perfectly qualified? Yeah, if you untimely kill him, we'll have trouble. Also, the son of Maharaj Prixit, he was going to kill Indra as well. He was very powerful, and he requested the Brahmins to bring Takshaka, the snake who killed my father, bring him into this yajna, this fire, and kill him. And then Takshaka, he was actually a friend of Indra, so he took shelter of Indra. And he said, Maharaj Abhijaya asked, why isn't Takshaka coming into the fire? So many snakes are burning to death. Where's Takshaka, the little rascal? And you say, well, the Brahmin said he's taking shelter of Indra. And you say, well, who does Indra think he is? This has got nothing to do with him. But as he's in, where you step in, and he's then took it as his fight, so let's fight him, let's kill Indra as well. And Brahmin said, well, how should we do that? He said, well, chant the same mantras, but put Indra in there. Put Indra's name in there as well. And say, Indra fall into fire along with Takshaka. So then Indra was falling. He was coming down. He was going to be destroyed. And Lord Brahma came and said, excuse me, this is not good. Indra's actually an important person. He's a Brahmin. He's not supposed to be killed. So when we see in the different varnas, we find that those in the lower varnas, sudras, lechas, etc., when they do something wrong, they can have capital punishment. If they do something very wrong, they can be killed off the king. And otherwise they can have their arms cut off or legs, or they can be put in prison, or whatever. But when you get to the higher varnas, up to the Kshatriyas, in Kshatriyas it's called that one can't kill a family member because they're also Kshatriyas. However, if one is on the battlefield, then it's okay, because that's a different situation altogether. I think it was the Queen of England, she killed her sister-in-law, Mary Queen of Scots, and she wasn't supposed to do that, and there was big trouble, because you're not supposed to kill a family member, and she had her beheaded. Normally, they just put them in the top of the prison for a long time and leave them till they die. But in this case, Indra was a Brahmin, so he was supposed to be instructed what he'd done wrong. Because the Brahmins, even if they kill someone, they're not supposed to be put in jail, and they're not supposed to be killed. When we see the pastime of Maharaj Pariksit being cursed of Sringi, we find that his father, he said, "What on earth have you done? You've cursed Maharaj Pariksit to be killed, but he didn't do very much wrong. He just put a snake around my neck, and that's all." So after that, he didn't do anything else to Sringi, his son. And nobody else did anything to Sringi either. Simply they instruct. A Brahmin gets instructed and said, "This is a wrong thing to do. Now correct your ways and everything's okay." And we see the same thing in the pastime of Ashwatthama. With Arjuna, Krishna was testing him in religion, and Ashwatthama had killed all Draupadi's children, and Draupadi says, when she's crying, and Arjuna says, "I'll go and get this rascal, and I'll chop his head off, and you can take your bath standing on his head," because Kshatriyas, they're very happy if they can get their own back on the enemy, because they have to be above their enemy to show their superior strength, and then they feel some consolation that they've got their own back. So when Arjuna caught him, then he became merciful, and he said, "I better not kill him. I better just take him back to Draupadi, and she can do what she wants." And Draupadi said, "Release him. He's the son of a Brahmin. He shouldn't be tied up in this way. We should just instruct him." So then they said, "Okay, let's release him." And then they decided to cut his hair off, because a yogi or a Brahmin keeps their potency in their hair, their tuft of hair. So they cut this off, tried to disempower him. But he knew the mantras for the Brahmastra weapon. So he released this at Maharaj Pariksit to try and kill him. But he himself wasn't killed, you see. He was instructed. And similarly, in this pastime, Prabhupada's not mentioned this in the purport. He's just touching on what it says in the translation. I'm going a little beyond that. In this pastime, Indra as well isn't killed. He had some pride, but Lord Krishna didn't kill him. And the same thing, as I mentioned in the beginning, was with Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma had a problem thinking that this little boy Krishna, who's standing eating food with his coward boys, he's human. And also Indra thought Krishna was human, because Krishna plays human pastimes. He tries not to do things like he doesn't magic something out of thin air. He just tries to do everything as a human would do. If he wanted to go from Mathura to Dwarka, he'd walk, or he'd ride on his elephants or cows or horses or whatever. They didn't like take Maya Danava and jump in a spaceship and go to a different place. They don't bother with that. So when Krishna was playing these human pastimes, both Brahma and Indra became illusioned by his acting. It was so phenomenal that they kind of fell for Krishna at times, and at other times they got transcendentally jealous. And with Lord Brahma, he decided to steal the cow, boys and calves. And last night we explained the internal reason for that. So Krishna has his reasons, and he plays a few roles all at once. So Lord Brahma himself, he had a little pride, so that had to be taken down a notch or two, and he had to be instructed. And then there was the pastime that came from that of Haridas Thakur, but also Krishna had another side pastime going on at the same time, and that side pastime was he wanted to fulfill the desires of the elderly gopis who wanted to see Krishna. They want to see their children as being dearer to them than Krishna. So Krishna has all these pastimes, and he fulfills that by doing one thing, and that was to chastise Lord Brahma. The same thing in this pastime. Indra got a little puffed up, so Krishna knew this within his heart, and Krishna decided to fulfill a few requirements, a few necessities in the same go. So the gopis and gopas, the elderly village people, everybody wanted to see Krishna. So they wanted to stand and stare at Krishna. And for them, it wasn't enough that they'd seen Krishna for a few hours and then he'd go off. So they wanted to spend many, many days just staring and being totally absorbed at Krishna's beauty. And also they wanted to see some, what's special about Krishna. They know his attraction is very special. But they always want to see Krishna doing things because his feats are so wonderful. So Krishna knew this in their heart. So he thought, okay, I'll lift a mountain with my little finger, and then they'll like that one. And the cowherd boys liked it so much that they also thought they could help. You know, they were thinking, well, Krishna's doing this, but some mystical feat, it must be light, this mountain, so let's give him a helping hand just in case he's slipping. And at one point he did slip because he's looking at Radharani, and the whole pastime, the internal pastime, was so the gopis could look at Krishna, and all of the different cowherd people in Braj could look at Krishna, but Krishna also wanted to see Radharani for a long time. So at one point he was just looking out of the corners, and everyone's looking at Krishna. So if you're a male and you're attracted by a female and there's another 500 people around, you have to be quick to glance, you know, otherwise someone will see you looking at them. So Krishna quickly, and then he looked for too long. Somehow Radha was doing something and he seen her. And then he seen her looking at him with these little sidelong glances. They give little coy smiles, and they try not to give it away that they're crazy about Krishna. And then he got a little excited and he started to shake. And at that point, all the cowherd boys and cowherd men ran up with their sticks, their herding sticks, and started to prop up the mountain. So these are internal things that are happening. And the external thing that happens is Indra needed to get his pride removed. So we can see these pastimes are so in depth. And Indra's pride was removed in a very glorious way. Krishna didn't do anything. He didn't even instruct him. He just stood still, and no matter how hard Indra tried to pour these Sambartika clouds, every bit of water was just absorbed like a sponge. And there was not a sign of any problem anywhere. And all the cowherd men, they had a good time underneath, and everyone was happy except for Indra. And he was really frustrated, and no matter how much he tried, he just couldn't do it. Sometimes we get that ourselves, and we think, okay, I must be headed down the wrong street here. We finally give up and go a different direction. So at one point, Indra finally understood, I can't beat this guy. And also, Jambavan was the same. Jambavan was fighting with Krishna, and for 28 days, they were just pummeling each other. They were smashing each other to pieces. And Jambavan thought, well, nobody can beat me. He's been about since the beginning of time, Jambavan. And he's completely indefeatable. No one can beat him. And then he said, okay, I give up. this is impossible. You must be Lord Ram. You must be Krishna. So then he surrendered. And finally, the same thing happened with Indra. He finally understood. And then he came before Krishna with Surabhi, because he was thinking, I know Krishna likes the cows, so I better take somebody with me to give me support, just in case I mess it up again. So Indra didn't run in front of Krishna himself. He thought, well, I'm not allowed to go and see Krishna, because he's the Lord of the whole universe. He finally clicked, and he's way above me. So he thought, let me go with Mother Surabhi. And he asked Mother Surabhi to introduce him. And Mother Surabhi put the plea before Krishna and saying, Indra's actually really sorry. He didn't mean to do it. He meant to kill all the residents of Braj. You know, he was in a mood like nothing else. There's one thing I saw once. That's right, that's where it was. My father's television set, we just went to see him, and it was going on this program. And there was some bicycle rally. So all these people were on bicycles, and they were stopping all the cars behind. So one man got really annoyed that for like many miles he couldn't get past because so many cycles, and they were probably jeering at him and all sorts. You know, they were on some protest march. So he just put his foot down and just wiped them all out. Every single cyclist, he just wiped, obliterated them all. So, sorry, I nearly obliterated. So Indra similarly just snapped. Indra said, I'm just going to kill every single person in Braj. But these were not normal clouds. These clouds, the rain that came down, were as big and heavy as marble or granite pillars. So you get hit on the head from a granite pillar, huge column. You're really going to know about it. He didn't mess about with his clouds. He sent the biggest possible that were to fill up the entire universe. They had such capacity in them. Something strange was happening. Nothing was filling up anywhere. So not the universe, not any single inch of branch had any rain on it. And Indra was completely gobsmacked. And he went with Mother Surabhi and said, I apologize for this. So Krishna said, okay, don't do it again. You made a big mistake. You had some pride. You had to have that removed. So you're a Brahmin now. I've instructed you. Now you should also learn. And he thought this wasn't enough. So then he underwent a lot of penance to atone for this as well, to really say he's sorry. So this is the sum and substance of this text. And the idea is that behind it all is, if you've got any potency in you, don't be demoniac and aim that at Krishna, because you won't win. If you've got any anger in you, don't address that to Krishna. If you have any envy, don't aim that at Krishna, because you'll be sorry. Krishna's bigger than the whole universe, so certainly you won't win him in a fight. However, if you do the opposite, if you surrender to Krishna just like Indra did, at that time you will get such wonderful rewards. So it's mentioned that a person who surrenders to the holy name, we're giving some discussions on chanting last night and tonight. So if you surrender to the chanting process, and you prove yourself to be a servant of the Lord's wishes instead of a servant of your own desires, then you won't act like the sloka I quoted in the beginning. You won't act according to the modes of nature. You won't act according to your own directions, but you'll act according to Krishna's direction. And then everything will be fine. And Arjuna mentions at the end of that understanding, because Arjuna is also getting instructed like a Brahmin, and he mentioned Karasya Vachanantava. This means, Krishna, I surrender to you. I give it up, and I will act according to your desires from this point on. So we have to be the same like that. Yeah? Don't worry, Krishna's not going to get angry at you if you don't surrender too much. But at least in your heart, try and say sorry if you do something wrong, and say, I know I'm not particularly doing so well, I'm not proud of myself, you certainly can't be proud of me because of my actions, but at least forgive this and move on. And there's one pastime where, what was he called? Chitraketu, King Chitraketu. He became Brikasura. And he said such a wonderful line. He was being given a mantra from Narad Muni. And this mantra allowed him to be able to travel in outer space at his will. King of the He was a king of a certain heavenly beings, and he could travel around the universe. So one time he went to a place where Bhavani was sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva. So Bhavani is the progenitor of the universe. So she was with Lord Shiva, sitting on his lap. So you have a woman being embraced by her husband. In Vedic terms, this is not normally accepted as normal. And there's lots and lots of sages sitting around. And Lord Shiva was having a discussion while he's got his wife on his lap. And so the scene was a little strange for King Chitraketu. So he made a comment, and that comment was something derogatory. He said, what's going on here? Lord Shiva, the master of his senses, controller of all the universe, lord of destruction, he has so many qualities, and here we see him performing a seemingly immoral act, something that's not normally done, something that's a bit out of the ordinary. What's going on? And then Lord Shiva didn't take any offense to this, because a great soul doesn't personally take offense, but his wife really took offense on behalf of Lord Shiva, because he was insulting her husband. So she said, you little rascal, who do you think you are? You're trying to instruct us in this assembly of all learned sages. Lord Brahma's here. Lord Brahma's not saying anything about it. Narad Muni's not saying anything. All the great sages, they're not saying anything. So who do you think you are to? Do you think you know more than all these people? You're acting very demoniacally. And she cursed him. So King Chitraketu was very powerful. He could have cursed Bhavani in return and give her a big problem. So she cursed him to become a demon, and he became Vritrasura, who was killed off Indra, incidentally. Let's go back a bit. So when he seen this, he was going to get cursed. He said, okay, I accept the curse. And everyone was thinking, oh, this is going to be a real fight going on here. You know, you call it a slanging match in English people start. And we've seen this in the beginning of time with Lord Shiva again at the Daksha Yagya. There was a huge cursing and counter-cursing going on. And at this time, King Chitraketu, he didn't counter-curse. He just folded hands and said, okay, I accept. I'll become a demon. Now, don't forget, he was the king of Vidyadharas. So, he was a top man in the universe, and he could just go anywhere he wanted. So, to go from there to be born in the very low planets, and then actually have to be a ginormous demon when you're actually you're higher than demigod. He was a devotee. He was something really special, devotee of Sankarsha. So, Lord Shiva says, look at this, it's astounding. You've just cursed this person to go from the highest position possible to the lowest position, and he does nothing. He just accepts the curse, just like Maharaj Pariksit just accepted the curse. And then she was in wonder struck at the Vaishnavas, how they can take things, how they can take everything. And his line that amazes me was, he said, actually, I've said nothing wrong. What I've said is actually just facts, fact after fact after fact. So it's correct. But Please, in your greatness, allow anything that you think to be wrong be excused. So please forgive me. So what he said wasn't a lie, it wasn't anything. It just wasn't befitting for the circumstances. We see there's a saying that says you put the horse before the cart. And so in other words, you should think before you speak. And in this instance, Krishna wanted a pastime to happen. So he inspired Chitraketu to make a blunder. They all make blunders at one time or other. Don't forget they lived for many hundreds of millions of years, so to be perfect for 24 hours is pretty difficult. So imagine being perfect for hundreds of millions of years, and at one point they all make some mistakes. So Indra made his mistake here, Chitraketu made his mistake there. But it actually was his glory, because then he went back to Godhead. He just had to leave his body, that's all. So we can finish there and ask if there's any questions. I think it's,
what time is it?
And what time do you finish? Okay, so that was good. It's time to finish, so we can ask one question. Prabhu mentioned, does anybody have any questions? Or it's all clear that the commentary was very basic. Clouds could cover the entire earth with a single vast ocean. So this was a potency in them. And with great strength, these clouds began flooding the simple mangrove branch. So that's Prabhupada's purpose. So that's very simple. Just the understanding behind it is, don't be a demon. Don't be against Krishna. Just be good.
You nearly mentioned that Indra ignored the spiritual master.
He's
different than this. The person Indra who offended Krishna.
Say it again.
That Indra, different Indra than this Indra who offended Krishna.
You know, I'm not exactly sure. But at this time, they asked Lord Krishna to take over as Indra at that time, Brihaspati. So, I don't know if this is the same one or not. But sometimes it mentions in the Bhagavatam, sometimes not. Yes, I know.
It seems that Indra committed pretty big Vaishnava Aparadh. He tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. That's pretty serious Aparadh.
He wasn't thinking very clearly, was he?
As you mentioned, interesting point is that in dealing with a Brahmana, he was, you know, the Lord let him off the hook pretty lightly just by correcting him and allowing him to get on. I don't know if you can comment on this. How this is, it just because Indra is, you know, holding such an important post? Is it because he's a Brahmana? If someone here is a Brahmana with an important post and they try to kill all the residents of Vrindavan, will the Lord let them off so easily? Or how can we understand this?
It's that way. It's as clear cut as that. If you're a Brahmana, then you should be instructed right from wrong. And then when you rectify your behavior, then that's fine. And it's exactly the same with us. So can you imagine how many people we've killed in all of our different lifetimes? We've killed so many, even in this lifetime. If you look at how many insects you kill, they're also living entities, the same. And the Lord immediately lets you off the hook. Just one utterance of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can even take the Lord's name in jest, in ridicule. You can shout at the Lord and be angry at the Lord, as long as you say Krishna's name and you're not making offenses, but you just simply, you're doing it because you're doing it. So someone could say a name of some company, and this company could be Rama Transport Company. And as long as you say this word Rama without offending the Lord, without being against the Lord, then you're forgiven for all the people you've killed. Why? Because you're then taking the position of higher than a Brahman. You become Vaishnava at that time. So then there's nothing, there's no more reactions. Similarly with a Brahman, you just get instructed of what's right and what's wrong, and that's ended. As long as you learn the lesson, it's finished. There's no more retributions in that. But also, let's remember the rest of the pastime. Krishna knew what was coming. Krishna wanted to fulfill the desires of the others. So Krishna used him as a little bit of a tool, so to speak. But he knew he was going to make a mistake, and he thought, well, let's time it so all these things are perfect and I can please many people at once. So in the same way, he would have been a bit nasty if he did any more to Indra, because he was also fulfilling his desires.
Not a Hindu part of his community.
You're going to get a mic. After Indra...
In Indian community.
Indian community, so, yeah.
Some part of people, they call someone as a Narayan, thinking the Guru is God, but he's not God. What is the result? What is the result they will attain? They say, Swami is a sannyasi and he is Narayan. And the Swami Narayan, they call Swami Narayan. What about the benefit? The result, the same result? Or?
They're saying the word Narayan, right? So it's there, benefits there. This word Narayan we see in scripture, Ajamil's story. His son was called Narayan, the same thing. And he got lots of benefit in his life from saying the word Narayan. And then, at the time of death, he called Narayan. And then the Vishnu Dutas came, because that moment's very special. At that moment, whatever you're thinking of, that will set your destination. And then when you go to Yamaraj, your destination is hell, because you never think of Krishna. When you go to Yamaraj, he then takes account of what you've done right and wrong in your life. And the word Narayan is pious activity to say it, and it's also transcendental, so you also get transcendental credits for saying the word throughout your life. If you were to just sit and say Narayan, 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 all your life, you'd get so many credits. Highest credits for spiritual, Bhakti and Mukhi it's called, spiritual credits. So, because he wasn't pure, Ajamil had to get a second chance. And he came back and he rectified all the things he did wrong, and then he made it to perfection by living his life according to the desires of Narayan. So, even once chanting the words Hare Krishna, you can be liberated from all these problems. So similarly, those who chant Swami Narayan, they'll also...
If you tell them Hare Krishna, they are going to reply on that.
Say it again?
If you say Hare Krishna to them, they don't reply, they don't say Neo Krishna.
Yeah, this point's covered in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. They're too offensive. It's mentioned that they can say the word Chaitanya, because Chaitanya means pure, everything goodness, everything correct, but they can't say the word Krishna. So they say Chaitanya, but they don't say Sri Krishna Chaitanya, because they're so offensive, they don't want to say that. And similarly, we mentioned about the people bowing down when they want to bow down on their hands, but they don't touch their head to the floor, because they have pride. Shall we end? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai! Dantarashima Bhagavatam Pita. Krishna Prabhu Kita.
Hare Krishna, so thank you very much, Krishna Goku. A very nice class. Thank you very much, Nishin Goku, for such a spontaneous class. 10 seconds, you probably could have continued talking for another couple of hours. Nishin Goku will be continuing the seminar this evening on Harinam Chintamani. Anyone who was attending that last night, who was there? Very nice. past it, so there's
6 p.m.
And so it's planned to start at 6 this evening?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, it'll be in the seminar room from 6 p.m. So everyone can please attend. And then I think they'll be leaving us this evening after that seminar finishes, right? Okay, so it was very nice to have you here with us. Please, next time, come and stay for longer. You're welcome to be here for some time, so please, you can come and stay here if you like. That's also
I love this place. This place is so...
And I just wanted to welcome his wife also, whose name I... Nileshwari Matiti, who's also here with us. And yeah, just to say it's very nice to have you both here. I think your first visit to Soho, first time here? Okay. It was very nice to have you both with us. We wish you the best. I think you're off to traveling all over the universe and all kinds of things. So we wish you, sincerely wish you both the best. And please know that you always have a place here. So come and give us some of your association. Hare Krishna. Okay, so after the pleasure of the Lordships, we have some scores, some announcements. So tomorrow the restaurant will be reopening. Having a look around, it still can't even imagine that it's going to happen. But I'm sick of extending the date, so even if people have to walk over broken stuff, I guess. Tomorrow the restaurant will be reopened. And everything should be back on schedule, so that means also lunch program back up and running. And so everyone can be made aware of that. Anything else? Okay. All right, so for the pleasure of the Lordships, we have some scores from yesterday. I don't see any shop scores, but on book distribution, we had 5 scores reported, starting with Tapa Gyanpu, collecting 20 last reports, distributed 8 small, 14 medium for 9 book points. Sachi Kumarni Mahaprabhu, 23 Lakshmi, 20 small, 14 medium for 12 book points. Dr. Lori, 61 Lakshmi, 10 Mahabig for 20 book points. Sunnitai Peru, 102 Lakshmi, 26 Mahabig for 52 book points. And Mother Sharda, over a couple of weeks, 415 Lakshmi points, 30 big, 22 Mahabig, 2 sets for 110 book points. Total of 5 scores, 621 Lakshmi, 28 small, 28 medium, 30 big, 58 Mahabig, 2 sets for 203 book points. Srila Prabhupada has no book distribution key. Srila Prabhupada key. So, prayer to the Lordships. Dear Shishi Radhalala Nishwar, Jagannath Aladdin Subhadra, Shishi Gorani Tai, and Giri Govardhan. We offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada to the fallen conditioned souls of London. Please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Srila Prabhupada says in a book distribution, ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. So we just need volunteers to serve prasadam this morning on the ladies' side, also on the men's side, some volunteers to help serve breakfast prasadam, and some volunteers to help clean up the temple room after breakfast. I need a couple of volunteers other than Ishan Gorpuru, who's enthusiastically volunteering to. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, if everyone could please help in the prasadam chain. to bring the prasadam up, we can serve out Hare Krishna.